You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Canty and Carlin Podcast.
Targeted ads, the downfall of society, the downfall of all of us here on Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Courtney Cronin, Randy Scott. My targeted ads, like Chris Carlin was just talking about there, happen to be related to the Sephora sale. It's the once-a-year thing where I get 20% off everything. I went yesterday. I cleaned out the entire Fenty Beauty section. I'm going back tonight to do the same to the Drunken Elephant section. So, guys, I don't know if you have any sort of similar experiences, but I need all these radio shifts I can get because targeted ads have me following influencers for all of my skincare and beauty tips, which I know you both know all about. So, yes, with that said, I, too, have these issues. Chris Carlin, normal host here on Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, joining us now via the CC call-in line. And before I find out more of your purchases, Chris, that you have so often indulged in on Instagram and TikTok via these targeted ads, we know that Kawhi Leonard, the breaking news coming out of Los Angeles today as the Suns-Clippers series shifting back to L.A., might shift momentum, too, with things tied up 1-1. He is ruled out with a knee injury for game three. Sounds like it's not something that's super, super serious because of what Woj has been reporting, that this is a day-to-day injury, but it's still a knee sprain. How do you see this affecting the series as it goes back to L.A.?
Well, I mean, first things first is that Drunken Elephant was my nickname in college. So I find it ironic that you're going there. But listen, I think, you know, Canty and I were talking about this series earlier today, and I could not get over the fact that in a 1-1 series that the Suns were heavily favored as they were. And now, while the two of us were thinking about making a joint investment in the L.A. Clippers, we've decided to hold off just a little bit, considering what's going on with Kawhi. I'm surprised by it, but I'm not surprised by it. And I definitely think it's a major factor. Look, I came out of the other night feeling like if Paul George was healthy, there's no reason to think that the Clippers would not win this series. Because while it looked like it was supposed to, there is nothing about the Suns that really impressed me right away in game two, even though they evened it up. So, it's a major concern. It's a major concern. I don't see how the Clippers could win without Kawhi tonight. I don't see how that can happen.
Who benefits the most, if you're looking at it, Chris, from a Suns perspective? Is there one player in, you know, individually who's going to benefit more than someone else?
I mean, I think Durant and Booker both. I mean, yeah. Kawhi's defense is just so good. He's such a good two-way player. I would expect that they both would. I don't think all of a sudden, you know, it's the numbers are just going to be off the charts. But just considering what he's done, I would expect Durant a little bit more, probably just because of what we saw in game one, where he only touched the ball and took one shot, I think, over the last 6 minutes, and was scoreless in the first and third quarters in that game. I mean, it was better for Durant in game two, but when you can do that to Kevin Durant, it's a whole nother level of defense.
A so-so game for KD in game two. They are now 1-1 in this series with Durant. Suns 9-1 since trading for Durant at the trade deadline. Canty and Carlin right here on ESPN Radio. And we're talking with Chris Carlin, the normal host of this show, if he's not hosting Greeny, and getting ready for the NFL draft. We'll get into your prep here in a minute, but the minutes for Kevin Durant concern me. Randy and I have been talking about this and knowing that not all minutes are created equal, but he's playing 44, 45 minutes as the series now is 2 games old. Can he continue at this clip? And the Suns be able just to rest everything on him, have him be number one in field goal attempts, hopefully a higher scoring output from Durant in game three. But I just take a look at what the load for him, the load for Devin Booker, the lack of contributions from the bench right now, and I don't think this is sustainable.
No, I don't think it is either. And think about this, too. Wendy was on the show earlier today when we were filling in for Greeny and pointed out, if I just took a look at the schedule, I mean, think about the fact that they're playing tonight at 10:30 and then they are playing at noon West Coast time on Saturday. I mean, that is an incredibly quick turnaround that does not help the Suns. That's, you know, that's even more why I think that if you get a chance tonight, it's such a huge issue break that you could get Kawhi on the bench that maybe you can limit KD to 35 minutes and still win this game. I mean, in some ways I look at this like the Bucks the other night, not that it's the same kind of matchup, but the Bucks last night in resting Giannis. Hey, let's just get through tonight. You know, even if the Bucks went down 2-0 to the Heat, they still could very easily, I think, win that series. And I think, and of course they won without him last night. So I think if you're the Suns tonight, you would love to find a way to limit Durant to 30 to 33 minutes if you could.
Yeah, that'd be a, you know, quite a blessing for a guy who still has only played, coming into these playoffs, 8 games in his Suns uniform. So there's still an acclimation process that has to take place. And now, I mean, you know, might be, I don't want to say he looks forward to playing without Kawhi Leonard, but this is a green light special for Russell Westbrook. Like, Westbrook.
when does he not see the green light? Honestly.
He's Charlie Day in the back of the stolen car on Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's this wild card, just ready to let it loose. And that's kind of a nice transition into Dylan the Villain last night, as somebody on Twitter called him. I haven't seen anyone willingly embrace, both in wardrobe, post-game comments, and on-court antics, this level of LeBron James trollery like we saw from Dylan Brooks last night. I mean, this, Chris, is a choose-your-own-adventure. Take it however you want. How did last night sit with you from Dylan Brooks's perspective?
Listen, I don't look at it like Dylan Brooks has been off the charts amazing in this series. With LeBron, the stat that stuck with me for Dylan Brooks yesterday is the Lakers as a whole, when Dylan Brooks is the primary defender on LeBron, they are shooting somewhere, like the rest of the team is shooting somewhere in the high 20s. In other words, he's been able to just lock LeBron up and force him to give up the ball and let them get beat. When LeBron's, you know, taking him on, he's still shooting 50% himself, but that's only been on like 14 possessions that he's actually shot it. So he's been good. As far as the trolling, like, I'd be surprised if LeBron just doesn't look at it at this point, like, whatever. You know, like, okay, dude, you know, you do you. If I'm LeBron, you can't get sucked into this. Wendy thought this morning that that's exactly what was going on, that he's trying to set a trap for LeBron because it's better for Memphis if LeBron goes out there to try to score 50 as opposed to AD being number one. LeBron could score more than 40 in one of these games. I don't think he's going to force it, though. I think he's going to go there when he has to go there.
He's the tsetse fly of this series, just buzzing in LeBron James's ear. Yeah. LeBron just wants to smack it out once and for all. We'll see if he's able to do that in Game 3 after shooting 7 of 14 when Brooks was the primary defender in the first two games on LeBron James. Chris Carlin, host of Canty and Carlin right here on ESPN Radio, and also hosting our draft coverage, the NFL Draft 1 week away. Chris will be down in Kansas City, joined by Mike Tannenbaum and Ian Fitzsimmons, bringing you all the draft coverage right here on ESPN Radio. And I know you're in the thick of prep right now and you're balancing a lot, but as you go through all of your notes, learning about prospects, learning, you know, way down the draft board, because we know about CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, the quarterbacks, what have you. Give me one thing from your prep about any prospect. You can take this anywhere you want to go that you are excited to tell people about when this player inevitably gets drafted.
Okay, I'll give you that right away, because I was talking to a coach last night in college that had to prepare for Georgia. okay, and had to prepare for a lot of SEC. He was an SEC coach. And we were talking about Jalen Carter for a minute, and I wanted to get the rundown there. And Andy said, but the other guy, dear God, he said, Nolan Smith is shot out of a cannon. And the week leading up to it, the exact quote he gave me was, holy blank, how are we ever going to block this guy?
Mm.
I'm glad he's gone. You know, so it's stuff like that. When you get a chance to talk to some of these coaches and people, I mean, you know, I don't have to tell you guys that you get these kind of fun little nuggets from people. But you get a better view of who some of these players are and how they're viewed. Like that's one of those guys that, and you also see the different opinions. There's so many opinions on a guy like Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech about where he's going to play. Is he going to play edge strictly like and be like Trayvon Walker, or is he going to play? He could play some three technique. He can play, you know, off the tackle. Like, what are they going to do with him? And how do teams view him? It's stuff like that. Those are the kind of things. That was one of the better quotes that I got so far from just different coaches and people that have been preparing for, that have spent time preparing for these guys.
Chris, we've been asking, we asked Diana Rossini, had her on in the first hour, where she was when she lost her blue check mark. I'm just wondering how today is resonating with you on social media.
Well, let me take a look and where were, let's see. It's gone?
Gone?
Oh no, I hate that you're finding out this way.
This is kind of awkward. We were hoping that you already had dealt with the trauma that came with this, and
my God,
you're unpacking it real time with us.
That where I was talking to you.
Oh.
I did not realize it had happened.
That's not me playing that. I do want to say though, this is a don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened situation.
What was your favorite moment of verified Twitter?
Just the fact that somebody actually had to verify it was me saying all this stupid stuff. Like that needed a check mark next to it. You know?
Yeah, yes.
No stupid stuff. All important things that have come on Twitter, have come on ESPN Radio, and the various shows that you host. He is Chris Carlin, the host of Canty and Carlin, weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You also hear him quite often on Greeny, and you're going to hear him on ESPN Radio's NFL draft coverage beginning next Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Chris, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Good luck with Draft Prep.
Yep, we verified it. That's the moron. Thanks.
I'm going to have to deal. Like, Randy, I'm going to have to unpack how I actually feel about losing my blue check mark because I've had one since 2013.
Since 2013?
That's a decade.
Yeah.
A decade with a blue check next to my name. Our social media person at the Clarion Ledger, the newspaper I used to work at in Jackson, Mississippi, went through Gannett, the parent company of all of these papers, which owns USA Today, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, all these big papers. And she got us all our blue checks then, and I didn't have to work for it. I didn't have to. I mean, I certainly tried to live up to the prestige of what comes and the responsibility that comes with owning a blue check mark. But now that I don't have it, I don't know if I feel free. I don't know if I feel liberated. I don't know if I feel sad. I guess I just kind of feel numb.
I think, first of all, it was a pretty sick brag that you've had it for 10 years.
It was unintentional, but because it's a true fact, it just kind of happened to me.
It was an unintentional brag? Okay, no, that's good. That's
it's not a humble brag. It just kind of, I'm literally stating a fact.
No.
You're out here chastising me.
There wasn't anything humble about it. No, I didn't get one until I got here. And yeah, like it was like a work perk, you know? There were several talented people who had connections, and it used to be something of like a who you know type of thing. Like I'm dating, my girlfriend has 37,000. She has like way more followers than I do, and she's not verified. She wears it as a badge of honor. It's been like a somewhat tongue in cheek talking point of our entire relationship. And so today she's like, now you're on my level. Like she was like, welcome to the Thunderdome, and. You know, it certainly doesn't reflect content. And now it's kind of funny seeing folks out there with, you know, a couple dozen followers who are rocking blue checks. And I worry about it from our perspective because, like, if I see someone, I know what Adam Schefter's avatar looks like, and if I see some Adam Schefter account tweet something, you know, explosive about the NFL, I'm gonna it requires due diligence. It requires a couple of clicks to make sure it's the actual person, and you know, the majority of people aren't gonna do that. It's kind of like, you know, tweet first, ask questions later.
The good thing that comes with this coming down today, everybody losing their blue check mark at once, and everybody who is either paying for Twitter Blue or is a part of the legacy Twitter, which Twitter needs to, you know, put a little bit more, explain that a little bit more, because Adam Schefter still has his. And that's important right now, because when we think about the sports reporting landscape and what's coming up next week, which we've been talking about for months and months and months with the NFL draft, you got to know that the information you're getting is verified before you retweet it. So, I mean, my biggest piece of advice to fans out there, people who want to make sure that the information they're consuming and then retweeting on Twitter, set up Twitter alerts for people that you actually go to and follow so you get them directly to you, so you're not searching and seeing a fake reporter. Like Diana was talking about this. She lost her blue check mark. So even the greatest of us fall vulnerable sometimes to Twitter's weird rules that they are now implementing. Having fake information out there at this time of year in sports is an inconvenience. My biggest fear is that if there's like some sort of like real event in life, weather, any sort of, you know, thing that unfolds that needs up-to-date, accurate information in the moment, not having verified accounts, or at least far fewer of them out there dispersing that information and having it be readily consumable does worry me about how that's going to affect the general public consuming all of that information. I mean, it's going to change the sports reporting landscape. There's going to be a lot of people who got from here on out. It always happens during free agency. We see it happen during the draft. Hopefully, as we gear up towards the NFL draft next week, and with Chris Carlin and Chris Canty, the host of this show, Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, with them in Kansas City, hopefully they are not falling victim to that trap. RIP to the Twitter blue checkmark. It's been a fun 10 years for me. It's been a fun 5 minutes for Randy Scott. He's now on everybody else's level. Unverified as hell as we go into the remainder of this Thursday. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. You can tweet to us at Randy Scott ESPN, at Courtney R. Cronin. Both of us unverified. All of us unverified. Coming up next, what does the future hold for Draymond Green in Golden State? Could this be his last season with the Golden State Warriors? We know he's suspended for game 3 of the series against the Sacramento Kings. What does that mean going forward as contract negotiations ramp up here in the near future? That's coming up next right here in Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Canty and Carlin Podcast.
The NBA is suspending Warriors forward Draymond Green for stepping on the chest of Sacramento's Domantas Sabonis.
This is what made it more egregious, was the fact he got the tee, then he doing all this stuff to the crowd. Yeah, Adam Silver's in the arena like, Draymond, you too damn old to be acting like that.
Draymond shouldn't have done it, but he was punished for it already.
The NBA is the reason why people think NBA players are soft.
There's no reason for Draymond Green to be suspended for this game.
Warriors Kings, the second game of Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern time tip-off as the series shifts over to San Francisco. The Warriors in an 0-2 hole as they go home trying to win one game in this series, but they're going to have to do it without Draymond Green, who has been suspended by the NBA for Game 3. This is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Courtney Cronin, Randy Scott holding it down for the guys on this Thursday afternoon, and let's head out to San Francisco. Check in with Tim Kawakami of The Athletic, Bay Area senior columnist and editor-in-chief. We've seen this happen before, dating back to when the 2016 series took a far, hard left turn when Draymond Green was suspended in Game 5 en route to the Cavs coming back and winning that NBA Finals. Tim, this time around, do you find any parallels in the suspension and what that's doing to the Warriors right now as they go try to find their first win in the series and doing it at Chase Center?
Yeah, I mean, I sure do emotionally. You feel it. Obviously, Draymond Green is a huge part of the Warriors. What they do has been a huge part of them for years. Warriors themselves, if you ask them, they're like, no, I mean, that was 7 years ago. And that doesn't feel like 7 years ago, CC, but it was a while ago. They've been through a ton of things since then. And I think kind of a side note, you know, they're not saying it, but like, this is not LeBron James. Like, this is the first round series. It's a big deal. They're down 2-0, but they should be able to handle this. Maybe at least, you know, home crowd going. They were a really good home team this year. I mean, the Kings are a really good team and have shown it, and they were a really good road team this year, which is important. But I just don't – they're really pushing back on that. It's just like 2016. Oh, my God, you know, you'll cave in. You had a 3-1 lead then, and it just came tunneling in on you. They can't think that, obviously. And they got to tell themselves that this is – they won games without Draymond. They've won big games without Steph. They've won big games with Klay, obviously. That they can do this. I think they can. Let's see if what they're telling themselves is true. We'll know about that in about 5 or 6 hours.
Tim, we've seen it this season from them. There's been confidence. There's been back and forth with the Memphis Grizzlies in particular, where it's like, hey, you guys can talk to us when you get on our level in terms of rings. You know, Klay has joined in on that. I know Draymond has as well. What sense do you get about their confidence in being able to flip the switch, which it would seem like they would have to do in Game 3, but their confidence in saying, hey, all we have to do is flip the switch and we'll be fine?
You know, they kind of thought that in Games 1 and 2, by the way. So maybe it's a little less right now. You know, I think they played okay in those two games. They just didn't make the plays at the end. You know, not having Draymond for the last 7:03 of Game 2 was pretty big. But they came back and they tied that game. And then De'Aaron Fox comes back and, you know, just keeps making big buckets. I think they've had some, you know, they felt like the switch has mainly been flipped. They got Andrew Wiggins first into the, you know, game for 28 minutes as a backup in Game 1 after all the time off. And he played like 39 minutes, I think, in Game 2 as a starter. That makes them feel good about themselves. Gary Payton II is probably all the way back from certainly what he was last season for them. But he is playing defense. He's somebody they can throw out there against you know, Malik Monk or De'Aaron Fox. I think they feel like that might be the scariest thing for them. Like I think they feel like they're playing hard, they're playing committed, they're playing focused. They just haven't been good enough to beat the Kings. Certainly there. I imagine they're pretty sure if they play at that level at Chase Center, and they have that crowd going, and they're comfortable, and, you know, their secondary guys, Jordan Poole, who is definitely was on a bad ankle in game two, is feeling better now, apparently. Jonathan Kuminga is going to have to play some minutes, certainly, with Draymond out. Dante DiVincenzo, they're going to have to kind of mix and match. Michael Green, the role players always play better at home. They did not play very well in Sacramento. I think they'll count on that. They'll count on kind of going deeper in the rotation and kind of dig this one out. I think they will. I think the emotion will be enough. I think they're playing good enough. But, yeah, if you look at the big picture, like, I don't know they can play a ton better than they played in game one, and they lost. So what's that going to be like for game four, game five, game six, possibly game seven? They got their hands full. There's no question about that. The Kings are very, very good and very, very committed to this, and they're not backing down. I think that was part of the Warriors' feeling, is once you hit them, these new guys, inexperienced, they might kind of quiver a little bit. That did not happen in games one and two. Maybe we'll see a little bit of it in game three. I don't think we're going to see the Kings just folding, though. They're too good for that.
The Warriors down 2-0 as their series with the Kings shifts back to San Francisco. We're talking with Tim Kawakami of the Athletic Bay Area and spinning this thing forward beyond right now and what it means for Game 3 and potentially the rest of the series is the fact that one of their biggest offseason priorities, at least so we think, is the Draymond Green contract situation. So he holds some power, at least right now on paper, the $27.6 million contract that he can opt into or opt out and become an unrestricted free agent. What do the Warriors want to do as far as approaching Draymond Green and his future? Does this suspension and potentially what it could mean to shift this series, could that affect whether he stays in Golden State beyond this season?
It could. I don't know. They've gone through this so many times. I don't know that, you know, like, oh, my God, our feelings are now completely changed. He is what he is. He punched Jordan Poole in a training camp practice. Like, that happened. They dealt with it. They've dealt with this several times. I think they're stunned that he was suspended after getting ejected. I kind of was stunned, too. It kind of was felt like a double punishment. You've already ejected him for seven of the most important minutes of the season, and then you suspend him for another game just because you kind of got mad at him. That is what it is. It happened. I don't know that is a calculation in whether they certainly knew. He yelled at Kevin Durant. They suspended him. Like, this is, they've been through this. He was going to fight with Steve Kerr at halftime in 2016. So I think it's just added to what they deal with him. He deals with them. They deal with all the things together. It's his decision. It's his opt-out. It felt like they were going to talk to him about an extension in the offseason. I think they probably will still talk about that. Maybe more importantly is if they go out in the first round, they don't feel like they've got a title, competitive team. If they feel like this money that they've paid out to all these players and would pay out next season, this financial commitment that's going to go over $400 million unless they make some cuts, isn't worthy of that number, is going to lead them to more playoff losses. Maybe they'll say, you know, Draymond, you come back for that year, we're not giving, or you go, no more money. If they say that, he might go because some other team might pay for it. That's the kind of the twist to this. Does this scare off another team, though? That's the real world. Is some other team going to give him, okay, 3 years, $100 million, this is our guy? I don't know. I think some teams that could really use veteran, guile and fire are very attracted to the idea of bringing in Draymond. But it's going to be for a lot of money. And does this scare them a little? That's the question I'm asking. This might actually work in reverse a little bit, where his market might not be away from the Warriors. I've always thought he was more valuable to the Warriors than he would to anybody else. It doesn't matter whether they're going to pay that money. Is his market as big as maybe envisioned, or might that close down? I don't know. It could really work in a lot of different ways. And what if Jonathan Kuminga has an incredible game three? And they're like, oh, wait a minute now. We might have a guy who can play power forward. Like, this is really twisty. There's a lot of things that are unanswered. There's a lot of things that could go on. If they go out in four games, Courtney, I think the whole thing might get blown up. I think it's set up to get blown up. Everybody but Steph Curry is on notice. If they get this to seven, if they get through it, then, a lot of other things become up in the air. But I am wondering whether this thing with Draymond might have like some other team going, do we want this guy around our young guys? That's a question I'm asking.
Yeah, the Kuminga conundrum that could potentially be if he goes out and has a great, you know, a great game tonight as part of the starting lineup, you might feel better about a $20 million player who's coming off the bench than paying somebody closer to $30 million. And, of course, the Jordan Poole situation, he's set to earn, you know, just under $28 million next season. They're already in a predicament from the financial perspective about what they do there. So really interesting stuff. Curious to see what this does for Draymond Green going forward. The Warriors got Game 3 tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern time, series shifting back to San Francisco with the Dubs in an 0-2 hole. Tim, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it. Great stuff.
Anytime, CC. Thanks.
That's Tim Kawakami from The Athletic, Bay Area senior columnist and editor-in-chief, joining Courtney Cronin and Randy Scott right here on Canty and Carlin. Straight ahead on Canty and Carlin, could Shohei Ohtani really be on his way out of Los Angeles? Our ESPN Major League Baseball insider, Jeff Passan, providing some context to a tricky situation for the Angels. Coming up next, ESPN Radio, ESPN App.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
And Carlin, the podcast.
One thing is clear. Shohei Ohtani wants to play for a contender. And if the Los Angeles Angels are not that this year, he's out of there when he becomes a free agent following the 23 season. Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Courtney Cronin, Randy Scott, as always, presented by Progressive Insurance. Jeff Passan, our ESPN Major League Baseball insider, was on Get Up this morning pontificating about Shohei Ohtani's future and what could happen if the Angels do what they do every year and miss the postseason.
As long as the Angels are in contention, as long as the Angels have hope for a playoff spot, Shohei Ohtani's probably not going to be traded at the deadline this year. But if the Angels fall out of contention, and if, you know, it's just more of the same as it's been over the last 5 years that he's been there, he could be traded and he will definitely leave.
Okay, that is definitely leave. We don't know about whether he's going to get traded at the deadline or not. They're 9-9 right now. They've got a plus 11 run differential. So it's not like we're panicking and we're thinking that this is going to happen in the immediate term. But if you saw Shohei Ohtani at the World Baseball Classic, Randy, he made one thing very clear. He wants to play somewhere that he can win. And he can do it relatively soon, because the one thing that the Angels have not done throughout his career there is make the postseason. Mm-hmm. And this is somebody who's going to make a lot of money, a contract that's going to start again with a 3 in front of it. And for a $300 million player, you've got to be thinking, if you're the Los Angeles Angels, if you stink, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Mets, the Cubs, whoever it is that has a big payroll is going to come in and try to entice this guy to leave and leave quickly.
I don't know that it starts with a 3.
Maybe a 5?
It might start with a 4 or maybe a 5. I mean, he's making $30 million this year. That's as a one-year deal with the Angels, and then he's making an anticipated $35 million in endorsements, so it's $65 million this year. I'm not making a show of this. I went to Baseball Reference just to make sure I wasn't missing anything. He has 0 postseason games. None in his career, to your point. Mike Trout has 3 postseason games, 12 postseason at-bats. It came in 2014. He has 1 hit in his postseason career. Like, the inability of the Angels to do anything with 2 generational talents. And, I mean, generational is putting it lightly for Ohtani. Like, if I were anyone involved in Shohei Ohtani's baseball future, anyone involved in his camp, in his inner circle, his family, his friends, I would advise him to run as fast as he could from the Angels if winning matters to him. If making money matters, maybe they can put together a competitive offer. If he likes living in Anaheim, okay. If he likes being close to the ballpark, I don't know. Maybe there are great restaurants in Anaheim. Maybe he likes Disneyland. I don't know. But otherwise, there's no reason baseball-wise to stay in Anaheim. None whatsoever. I have zero confidence in this front office to put him on a winning team, which is insane considering he makes up in one person both a 3-4-5 hitter and a frontline ace.
Look at what he's done through the first 18 games of the season. 281 batting average, 4 home runs, 11 RBIs. He's 2-0 as a starting pitcher, .86 ERA in 4 starts. I know it's early, but that's really, really good as a starting pitcher, and also the production that he's given this team offensively. We expect this. This is nothing out of the ordinary for Shohei Ohtani and his excellence over the years, but in spite of that, the Angels still haven't reached the playoffs during his Major League Baseball career, and they're kind of off to a so-so uneven start. So aside from the Rangers in the American League West right now, that, you know, that entire division has struggled, the Angels are still in second place despite being only .500. It's early, but it's something that needs to be put out there because very quickly this thing could turn sideways and we could see him moved at the deadline. But if that doesn't happen, according to Jeff Passan, he will definitely leave in the offseason if the Angels do not make the postseason, a situation that bears worth watching the next couple of months. Kenny and Carlin, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Let's go north in California to Oakland, where the A's just struck a deal. They are going to purchase land near the Las Vegas Strip. They are leaving. This is official. Dave Cavill, the team president, said on Wednesday that this is obviously a tough pill for A's fans to follow. But as someone who used to cover Bay Area sports, and I went through the whole process of, Howard Terminal, how can the A's make this work here? What about Laney College? What about San Jose? We have done this song and dance time and time again. The organization has told the city of Oakland, help us build a new stadium. The city of Oakland said, no, here's our proposal. Take it for what it is. The line has been drawn in the sand. I'm just glad that this saga is ending and ending soon because it's gone on 12, 13, 14 plus years now. And that's only like this saga with Howard Terminal in the Oakland site. We know that for a while the A's have been trying to leave the dump known as the Oakland-Alameda County Coliseum. And fortunately soon, not so fortunately for the fans that are there, but it will be a new, nicer stadium in the future.
Yeah, I hate seeing cities lose their teams. I hate seeing fan bases because that's ultimately who suffers. It's the fans. Like, you're right, the stadium was untenable. The sewer situation was disgusting. You know, feral wild animals roaming the place, held together with duct tape recently in viral videos. But it's still sad because I remember historic A's games there. I remember the Raiders being competitive there, and I'm excited for Las Vegas. They seem willing to invest, but it is a sad day for Oakland.
No more pro teams in Oakland, but there's one playing in San Francisco tonight, fighting for its playoff life. We'll get into the Warriors coming up next. Canty and Carlin.
Thanks for listening to the Canty and Carlin podcast. You can listen to the show live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen on the ESPN app. Canty and Carlin, the podcast.